foolish and the faithful. I had a lot of people make remarks about Easter falling on April Fool's Day. And it does every so often, I reckon. It's the first time I can remember, but just, you know, it's interesting people's reactions. Some just sort of noted it, while others seem to be bothered by it. And as with all things that happen as we go through life, God wants to show us something or tell us something, or at the very least get our attention. And I think, you know, with it coming on April Fool's Day, I think he just wants us to think. Psalm 14:1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And just in case you might have read that and thought it was a misprint, God repeats himself in Psalm 53, verse 1. Same exact verse. And there are many people who believe exactly that. There are many people who believe there is no God. However, they don't have an excuse. Romans says, "For God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godliness and unrighteousness of people who have, by their unrighteousness, suppress the truth." When people say that God is dead or there is no God, they're trying to suppress the truth. But what can be known about God is evident among them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through what he has made. You know, when you look at the heavens, and on a brilliant night, when we used to live in New Mexico and we'd go out, man, the stars just screamed the glory of God. And as a result of that, and the rest of the creation, people are without excuse. There is no excuse. People everywhere know there is a God. It's interesting when they are in need and you ask them. I've never had anybody tell me they wouldn't accept a prayer. When somebody finds out something, can I pray for you? Sure. Because when we get in those dark places, in those valleys, we realize there's got to be something more to it than this. People are without an excuse. For though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or showed gratitude. Instead, their thinking became worthless, and their senseless hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. But you know what? They have hope. There is hope in this world. This is the passage I had Dan read at the beginning. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. You see, the disciples were in the dark. They didn't get what was going on. He kept telling them over and over again he was going to be crucified. And they just couldn't figure it out. I think some of the ladies that were there figured it out. But his disciples seemed to be totally in the dark. But after the resurrection, he says, look, this is what the scriptures say. And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he also said to them, this is what is written. The Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead the third day. And repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And that's where we come in. We are witnesses. What do witnesses do? They tell what happened to them, or what they saw, what happened. And when Jesus Christ touches your life, you know it. Something happened in you. There is something different. And we are witness of that. If nothing else, we are witness of that. And we are to share those things. We are to be faithful in sharing the truth. That's why the title of the message, The Foolish and the Faithful. The foolish people, they say there is no God, but the faithful people will continue to proclaim him and what he has done in their lives and in the lives of others that they've experienced. We are to be faithful in sharing the gospel. In Romans it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith," is what it says in the scripture, from faith to faith. And a lot of people say, what's that mean, from faith to faith? Well, if you literally translate it, it's is revealed out of faith into faith. See, your faith in what God has done in you, by faith, you'll share that with someone, and by faith, they will accept it. From faith to faith, the one that you're sharing it with. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. If you are a born-again believer, you are a witness of the power of God and His ability to change lives, especially your own. We are called to witness. That's our part. God does the saving. That's His part. Let us be faithful to do our part, because people need the truth. And we have it. We have it. There's a world out there that tells a lot of things, skews a lot of things, changes a lot of things. But we have truth. So the question for today is, are you denying God? Is there somebody here today that you've gone your whole life kind of thinking, well, there might be something out there, but I've never really got a relationship with that person, or I've never pursued it, or I've never looked into it. I just kind of believe the line of what's going on out there. All those lines and all those lies. Because you see, you have an adversary, and he wants to destroy you. He wants to take you to hell. And that's the truth. That is the truth. But what we're celebrating today, this cross, the empty cross, because Jesus rose from the dead in victory over sin and death, victory over hell, and He is not willing that any should perish, but all would come to Christ. Are you denying Him? Don't be foolish anymore. You've heard the truth. You need to act upon it. For the rest of us, are we faithful? Are we faithful to Him? And are we faithful to what He's called us to do, which is to share the story what we heard today in song? Are we faithful that when we come across somebody, we just share what God did in our life? You know, you don't have to give someone else's testimony. Just give your own. And share it. And let God do what only He can do. And that's change their hearts and their lives forever. We're going to have an invitation. Kathy's going to play. And this is going to be your time to make a decision, if you're going to make a decision for Jesus Christ. If you've never made that decision, this will be your time. And we're also going to observe the Lord's Supper. And that's open to anyone that's a born-again believer. If you're born again, you don't have to be a member here. If you're just here visiting, we thank you for your presence. And you may join us in that. But the Bible is careful to say, be careful how you take this. Make sure you're right with God. And so this is a dual invitation. If there's somebody here that needs the Lord, if God has been, if you've been wrestling with God, and you've heard truth today, and it's striking your heart, don't ignore His call. You come up here, I will talk with you, and you can make a decision. You'll have an opportunity to make a decision. For the rest of us, let's make sure we're spiritually ready to observe what the Lord did for us, what we observe on this day, what He did for us. If every head would be bowed, every eye would be closed, is there anybody here today who would say, "Brother Mike, I've never entered into a relationship with a living God. I need forgiveness, and I want to do that today." Anybody like that? Would you lift your hand up? Be bold. Listen, don't let your pride keep you from heaven. This is the time. The Bible says today is a day of salvation because you don't know if you have tomorrow. Amen. I see that hand. God bless you. This is the invitation. If you need to take care of business, you come up here and take care of business. If you need to do business with God, if maybe a question of your faithfulness, maybe you haven't witnessed like you should, maybe, I don't know, what, you know, maybe God's brought something totally different to your mind this morning. You deal with Him. He's talking with you. This is your time. Take advantage of it. Will you come? Receive Him. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You in awe of what You have done on our behalf. Lord God, thank You for sending Jesus. Thank You for coming to earth in the form of a baby and living that perfect sinless life and then dying in my place, in the place of every man, woman, and child. Paying the price for our sin. Thank You for that, Lord. I ask You, Lord, for those that need to make a decision, Lord, I pray You would be relentless, that You would pursue them, and that they would turn to You. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close the service with a song. Y'all are going to sing with us. Now, but before we sing it, a few things I want to say. The song is called In Christ Alone. And hopefully y'all got a copy. Everyone, hopefully, or if you don't have one, maybe someone next to you has one. You can look at it with them. I tried to get one to everybody. Because, you know, a lot of times we sing songs and we don't even think about what we're singing. Some of them we know, and we've sang them so many times. This one, I think, was written in 2001. And I've heard it. It's being said now that this is the new Amazing Grace, you might say. It's a powerful song. And I want us to think about what we're singing, and that's why I wanted to make sure as many people had the words as possible, and then you could take it home and look at it. But in Christ alone, the first line, in Christ alone my hope is found. Let me ask you a question. Where's your hope? Where's your hope? Are you hoping in the government? Are you hoping on your health insurance? Are you hoping on your retirement account? Are you dependent on a person somewhere, a family member? You know, are you hoping on your paycheck? Are you looking at the culture? I mean, where is your hope? I hope it's in Christ alone. Is He your cornerstone? Is He your solid ground? I mean, when things go wrong, are you standing on Him? You know, there's a lot of people depressed in our society. A lot of Christians are depressed. And a lot of things cause that. Maybe their health isn't what it used to be. Maybe their wealth isn't what it used to be. The government making the laws that aren't like they used to be. The culture isn't like it used to be. Are you holding back from God? You know, in Revelation, it talks about this one particular church lost its love, its first love. Are you holding back? I mean, did it used to be sweet and powerful? And now, okay, I'm a Christian. Is it Christ alone with you? Is your hope in Christ and in Christ alone? It's interesting how things get watered down. If you look at that second paragraph, there's two lines there. It says, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. You know what's interesting? There was a denomination that wanted to put that in their hymnal, but they didn't like that line. They did not like that line. The wrath of God was satisfied. And so they wrote this. It was written by Keith Getty, and I think Stuart Townsend was the one that put the music to it. But they wrote to them, and they said, we would like to change the line so that it would say, till on that cross as Jesus died, the love of God was magnified. Now, that sounds great, and it's wonderful. But let me tell you something. The love of God means nothing apart from the wrath of God. What do we need is love if there is no wrath? What do we need love for if there is no wrath? It makes his love diminished when you don't ponder what you deserve, what you and I deserve because of what we have done. We deserve the worst, and God wants to give you the best. The love means so much more when you consider the wrath. And till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. It was the only thing that could satisfy God. That's why Jesus had to come and die on that cross. Because you know what? Your sacrifice or my sacrifice isn't enough. It's not good enough. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't buy your way to heaven. You can't beg your way to heaven. The only way you get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus said. And that holds true today just as it did 2,000 years ago. And it's the glorious message of the gospel that your sin and mine has been paid for on that cross 2,000 years ago. And his wrath, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, and you get before him, God's going to say, not guilty. Blood of Jesus is covering you. That's why we celebrate. That's why we come and worship. You know, it's interesting. You know, how is our hope really in Christ? Are we really sold out for him? It's interesting. You know, a lot of times, you know, I'm going to be leaving. Don't get shook. I'm on vacation. But I'm going to be leaving. And I'll bet you the attendance goes down. Look, Jesus is still here. Okay? You're not coming to see me. You're coming to worship him. And sometimes we just kind of get, you know, hung up on the things that we see. But your faith is revealed in the unseen. So we're going to have the praise teams going to come up and sing this song. Really look at the words. Really recognize what this is, what we're singing. And sing it from your heart.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength. My song, this cornerstone, this solid ground, from through the fiercest drought and storm, what heights of love, what depths of need. Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to. to stay till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God.
Interesting is that denomination, they wanted to put it in their hymn book, and they wrote for permission to change it. And I'll give these guys credit. They said, no way. We do not want to change that. And so though that denomination dropped it from their hymn book. They dropped it from their hymn book. And I just want to tell you, you know, the book does not lie. It stays the same, and we preach from that book here. That is what we believe. We don't change a word, and that's what's going to powerfully change lives, is that book. It doesn't matter who the messenger is or who the singers are or whatever. It is the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit working in the lives of people that changes things, and we will never compromise that. I want you to know that. That's just... There's a thing going on about watering down the truth of the gospel. Listen, heaven doesn't mean so much unless there's a hell. And we can water it down all we want. But there is a hell. And there is a heaven. And what makes heaven so good is that hell is so horrible. And we will never shy away from that, whether it be popular or not. I hope you think about that at Easter, what Christ did for you and me. Without Him, we're just going through the motions. With Him, we have victory, power, we have abundant life, opportunity to live the abundant life and serve Him with joy and victory and peace, no fear. And what a gift, what a God, what a Creator. What love? Yes, love, yes. I don't diminish the love, but let's not forget, there's two sides of that coin. Praise God. I pray you ponder these things. Take the words home and look at them in your quiet time. Ponder what they mean to you. I'm going to end the service. Heavenly Father, Lord God, come before You ever mindful of the tremendous price You paid on our behalf. Father God, thank You for Jesus. Thank You for the saving power of Your gospel, of Your Spirit, of Your work in our lives, Lord, that we could indeed have fellowship with You for eternity. And Lord God, if there's anyone here that does not know You as Savior, Lord, I pray You would move on their heart and they would seek You out, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for what You have done here. We ask You now to bless the food, the fellowship, all that goes on here the rest of the afternoon. Bless these lives that are sitting here, these families that are represented here, Lord. Bless them, protect them, use them for Your glory, that the name of Jesus would be magnified, and that men and women, boys and girls, wherever they meet, would hear the truth of the gospel, and that lives would be radically changed for You. And I ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you.